to be in honor mums and to gather together. And if your mum, you know, if your mum doesn't usually come to church, you could always bring her. How's that? You could always bring her. It might be a bit hard if she's not around anymore, but it's an opportunity, you know. Say, hey, mums, come to. We guarantee you'll get something that is nice, okay? So that's next Sunday. Hey, look, this following Sunday after that is Sunday the 19th of May. And last year, at the start of the year, we had a combined service. I don't know if any of you attended. It was in this building for all the churches. And apparently it was just packed. And had a great time. And it was on a Sunday night. And this year it'll be on the 2 weeks' time on a Sunday night, 6 p.m., not here, but at the Uniting Church building just off Dixon Drive. Is that cool? So just remember that combined church service, not next Sunday, the Sunday after, and it'll be all the churches will be joining together to celebrate, ultimately to celebrate our belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, but just to, you know, to uplift him across our city as we combine together. So that's happening. I want to continue today. We started a little series last week called The God of More. He's the God of More. Has anybody experienced the God of More this week? Yeah, it was Sunday night. Someone brought me an incredible carton of mandarins from Gander, just full of mandarins. And they said to me this. They said, "Is that too many?" I said, "No." It was more than enough that Michelle and I could eat, or Lydia could eat. But I said, no, because I was thinking of everybody I could give them to. So I went to my neighbor, and she has three boys. And I said, "Would you like a couple bag of mandarins?" She says, "Wow." I thought she was going to cry. And she says, "They eat 5 mandarins a day." That's what she said to me. So I gave her those mandarins, and who just knows, it might be. I've witnessed to that couple, and they actually have kind of extended family members in our church here, and so that's always good. Anyway, then for the rest of the week, Michelle and I are giving out mandarins everywhere, so I hope you enjoyed them, those who received it. But we're talking about the God of More. I want to just share a story. In the latter part of the 17th century, there was a gentleman called August Frank. This is latter part of the 17th century, so it's quite a few centuries ago. His name was August Frank. He was German, or Franka maybe it was pronounced, and he lived in the city of Halle. And he was a Christian man, loved the Lord Jesus Christ, and wanted to do something for the community, and he could see a great need with homeless children in his city at that time. And so he started an orphanage in this city. The orphanage, of course, in those days, there was no social services. There was no grants of money that you could apply for. He had to believe God for the provision of finance to feed these children. I'm not quite sure. I think he might have had around 30 or 40 children to start with. And one day, he's continued to see God's provision, but there was one day when this particular week, there wasn't much to go around. There wasn't much money. He had very little left. And it was on that week that a poor widowed lady, came to the door and politely asked if he had anything he could spare her, any finance. She just had nothing left. And he politely said to her first, initially, he said, "Look, I'm sorry, but I just haven't got, I've got very little myself. I can't spare anything." And he regretfully said, "I'm sorry." But then he felt prompted, and he felt prompted to go. He said, "Would you just wait a moment?" He went into his room, and maybe he should pray about this. And so he just knelt beside his bed as he'd usually done. He said, "Father, God, what am I to do? I've got very little. I've got to feed the children, and yet she's asking for something." And he felt prompted to give what he had. So he went back out to the lady at the door, and he took the one gold coin he had and he gave it to her. She was incredibly thankful. And a couple of days later, she wrote a note to him and said, "I just pray that God will bless you as you bless me, but more, more and more, he'll bless you of an overflow." He says, "I'm hoping for that as well." In actual fact, if we don't get it, we don't eat. And by the end of the week, there was a very wealthy lady in the city of Halle. Maybe she heard about the situation, I don't know, but she gave 12 gold coins to August Frank so he could feed the children. He was overjoyed. And if that wasn't enough, there was a friend from Sweden somehow, and it also, through another friend, gave him another two. So he had 14 gold coins. He had more than enough for that week now. He was very thankful, very excited about that. But with the following week, he got a note. He got a note from a very rich estate holder called the Prince. He was called Prince Ludwig van Wartburg. What a name. And he pledged 500 gold coins to the orphanage in Hale. Well, August, he just cried with gratitude. He wept in gratitude. In sacrificially providing for the needy woman, he'd been enriched, not impoverished. He'd been enriched. He continued to see that, and he was amazed because he'd never seen that God's provision in such an ample way. 500 gold coins means he could survive for several years and look after the children for several years. What a wonderful God that we serve. We've been singing about it this morning, but we serve the God of more. And not just financially, please, it's far beyond that. Because there'll be a day when we don't have material items or finances, a day when we'll be in heaven and we won't be of any issue of what we own on this earth. But it's something, even within our own lives, God does something that can be so much greater, so much greater. I love what he says in Psalm 40, verse 5. He says, "Many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works which you have done." This is the psalmist speaking. He says, "And your thoughts towards us cannot be counted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more." What are they? Come on. More. "They are more than can be numbered." God thinks about us more than we realize. And he has wonderful works. More wonderful works than we could ever imagine. There's some things that I've looked back through life and I've looked back at how God's provided, and I've gone, "God, I never could have imagined that." And that's what this verse is talking about. It doesn't say imagine in here, but there's another verse that says God could do more than you can imagine. Greater things. Romans 5:20, I love this one too. It just talks about, it says, where sin abounds, what abounds more? Grace. For all our shame and all our past, where sin abounds, do you know the grace of God abounds even more? If you were to go into some of those war-torn countries, Ukraine, Russia, Israel, Gaza, you'll see there's a message going out about Jesus right now in some of the most difficult circumstances in our world. In some of the most persecuted countries, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the grace is abounding more than we realize. Hundreds and hundreds of people responding to the Lord Jesus Christ right now. The world, not that the world hasn't, it's always been that way. If a person nearly comes to the Lord Jesus Christ as much as there are seconds in a day. Wow. So let's realize we're on the winning side, folks. It's the more of God. His grace abounds. So I want to speak to you about the God of more. We cool today. And I want to read a Psalm 23, because Psalm 23 is a psalm that some of you could recite to me today. And it's a psalm that sometimes we share at funerals. I don't know why, because it's not about death. It's about life. And if you were just for a moment to put aside your thoughts about Psalm 23 and what you've glean some fresh revelation this morning in what David was literally saying here. And remembering that David, of course, wrote this psalm not as a shepherd boy, but as an older man looking back and reflecting on the goodness of God on his life. So can we read it? Psalm 23. Here we go. We know it. Some of you could recite it, couldn't you? Here it goes. It says, a psalm of David. "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." Isn't that wonderful? The first thing David says is, "I lack nothing because God is the provider of my needs." And then he says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures." Remember, the analogy here is that David is saying, "I'm the sheep here and God's the good shepherd." So there's that analogy happening. "And he makes me lie down in green pastures, just like sheep would. And he leads me beside still waters." He's talking about God, of course. "And he refreshes my soul." I love that. He refreshes my soul. When our soul is depleted, when our emotions are struggling because of trauma or disappointment or issues, he gives us emotional strength, doesn't he? He could refresh our souls. Some of you might be just facing that this morning. Just need a refreshing in your soul. I tell you, one of the great things to do for that is to just worship him. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. God cares about how you walk through this life. He guides us on the right paths, not the wrong paths. You're walking on the wrong path at the moment. Well, he wants to pull you back to the right path. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, or as New King James says, the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You are with me, and your rod and your staff, for they comfort me. And can you see that David's changes a little bit in that verse 4, because he changes from talking about God to actually talking to God. And he says, you know what, God, your rod's with, you are with me, God. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. He's talking for just that part of that verse. He starts to talk to God. And then he says, you prepare a table, Lord, in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. That's speaking about a God that gives us more than enough, folks. God has got more than we can contain. And we'll talk about that. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will what? Dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And David is, of course, sharing as an older gentleman, looking back and how God has refreshed him through life, restored him through life in every area of his life. In actual fact, he's seen an overflow of provision throughout his life as an older gentleman now looking back. And I pray that will be our testimony in life. As we get older, maybe we see and go, oh, God, wow, that moment, that situation. So I'm going to give you just three things. We might get to all three. We'll see how we go this morning. Three things that will help us in understanding God's overflow and believing for God's more. Very important three things, I believe. And if we don't get through it all, that's okay. There's always another Sunday, isn't there? Oh, thank you for your overwhelming thought today. The first thing when believing for God's more is that blessing. And please, I'll break this down in context, but understand that God's blessing often unfolds over time. It often unfolds over time. What did David say in verse 6 of Psalm 23? Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. I love the fact that God didn't say to David, well, my goodness and love and mercy will just follow you one day a week. The other six, well, you make it up yourself. No. He didn't say, I'm going to let my goodness and mercy follow you just one day, or just 24 hours, or just for 1 month, or maybe this year. No. He says, for the days of your, what is it? Of your life. Follow us. Follow me. I love that. I love the God that says, you know what, there's more. It's not just for one day, but it's all the days. And the point that I'm trying to make is the more of God is not instant. It's not a day, it's over days. It's over your lifetime. And so sometimes if you don't see, sometimes what we do is we can give, if we're talking about money, we can give of our tithes and offerings faithfully. And so we should, and I encourage you. It is an incredibly wonderful thing to do as a Christian in the things of God. Or we could give, you know, and we give every week, or maybe you give something special 1 week, but don't go home necessarily. Look, you can check, but go home and look under your bed for a gold bar. It mightn't be there. It's okay. Because I've found that God's blessing or God's more unfolds in our life because he knows how much I can handle at one time. And it's amazing how it unfolds over life. And I can only now really, with genuine understanding of this principle, look back and say, Father, how you unfolded your blessing. The more of God came, more and more. And you get to a point sometimes in later life, and I understand not everybody's in this situation. Please do not think of yourself any less. But the reality is you can see, wow, I can see the overflow, God. I can see what you meant in Malachi when you said, will I not pour out more than you could ever handle? Will I not open the windows of heaven for you? I can see that now, but that's a whole different story. But the point is that the more of God is not instant, it's not in a day, it's over days. It unfolds. Now, it's not that God can't provide instantly. Sometimes he does, and he can, and he will. But more often than not, I find that he only distributes it, whatever its provision, whether it's his mercy, grace, whatever it may be, sometimes unfolds over life. Because we do know, give and it will be given unto you. Luke chapter 6:38. We do know that, don't we? And it says a good measure pressed down. But it doesn't mention necessarily whether it's going to be instant or it's just going to unfold. And often I find it is more of an unfolding situation. More than likely, you just need to realize that today, because, you know, the truth is that sometimes if we think, well, God, I gave last week and nothing's happened this week, you'll line yourself up for disappointment. And sometimes even drift into disbelief. Oh, God. So much for that. I gave $5 last week. Where's the tenth of that this week for me? Where is it, folks? Don't, please understand something. God's gotcha. Are you going to trust him more than material things and other stuff? You know, it's an unfolding of his blessing. Joseph is a great example of this. He had a vision as a young man that he would be a ruler of a nation, or at least be in some position of authority on a nation. And yet he had two dreams about it, you know. And yet from that moment, everything went south. Everything went difficult for him. He had this wonderful vision of God's more provision for him in what he would do. And yet he had three things happen to him, all start with P. The first one was a pit. His brothers, in a jealous frenzy, threw him into a pit, planning on killing him. Wow. That's a great fulfillment of the dream. And then the second thing happened, he was put in Potiphar's house as a slave. He was sold by his brothers eventually. They didn't murder him in the end, they just sold him off. He was the first, don't worry about it, I'm thinking something else. So he became a slave in Potiphar's house. So first the pit, then Potiphar's house, and then thirdly we see the third P was he became a prisoner. He'd be put in prison and unjustly tried, unjustly accused of something he didn't do, and he spent years in that prison. And then finally, after so many years, bang, God brought about the dream. But we see it came, it unfolded for him. You may say, does God's plan still unfold when I'm in the midst of difficulty? It's amazing what God can do in the midst of difficulty. Some of my most profound moments have been in the midst of difficulty, and I've seen, wow, God's provision for me personally. If there was ever an example, even think of David himself. He was a young man of 15, a shepherd boy out in the fields, around the fields of Israel, and God anoints him to be the next king of Israel. And he ruled for 40 years eventually, but he didn't start ruling till he was 30 years of age. 15 years hiatus, 15 years of waiting for this anointing that he received as around about a 15-year-old. He didn't get it till he was 30. Far out, what was happening? It was an unfolding of the more of God in our lives. And for some of us, that goes against our thoughts, because we think, Father, if I give, I expect it. You know what? Yeah, you get it. But please, just understand there's a trust. And I've often found that God anoints us, or God touches us, or God speaks to us about something. But the unfolding is the preparing us for the time we will have more, and then we're wise enough to handle the more. Wise enough to handle. And you're saying, you mean I'm not going to get more? No, there's instances where God works very quickly, honestly. But I don't know, that's where trust comes in, doesn't it? So, Father, I just got to trust you with this. And it's a learning to trust him, learning to understand him. Some things can come quickly, some things seem to unfold. And often I've found it unfolds in life. God's plan will unfold in your life as you trust him with your life every day. I always remember that I spent many years at the power station, 10 years working for the Queensland Electricity Commission before I was pastoring. And I would share diligently with people, and, you know, I'd share Jesus, and, you know, and I had some persecution. That was all good, you know, all fun. But I just tried to be a light in a very dark place of around 850 men. It was fun at times. There was times when I thought, what have I have achieved here? What have I achieved? And about 10 years after I left the power station, I had a phone call, and I said, James Hewitt here. It was when you actually had phones. Remember those days? And I picked it up, and there was a guy on the end of the phone, and his name was, he says, this is Barry. And straight away I knew who it was, because I recognized his voice. In my time as an apprentice, there was this short guy called Barry Constable. And he was, I think he was trying to make up for his shortness. You ever seen small men syndrome? You know, it's like little dog syndrome. They think they can fight, you know, a rock wheeler, and they're just a chihuahua, you know? And so Barry obviously had this attitude, you know, I might be small, but I'm not going to let anything pass me. And so he'd get quite aggressive sometimes. And every apprentice was fair game for him, you know, just to tell him what he thought of them and give them the worst jobs, blah, blah. Anyway, I copped it. I smiled at him, and I continued to witness. I didn't actually ever share Jesus with him. I just lived my witness out before him. He'd give it to me, and I'd just go and do it. I think he got frustrated with me. I'd be so nice. I think he expected a fight. But anyway, he rang me. He rang me this day and he says, "Is Barry Cousins?" I said, "Barry." He says, "Do you remember me?" I said, "Mate, do I remember you? You were the nastiest." No, I didn't say that. But I said, "You were the guy at work, you know, the supervisor." He says, "I just want you to know I've come and believe and I've come to the Lord Jesus Christ." I said, "Wow, Barry. I just want to say, wow, that excites me. That really encourages me, Barry, that maybe something and what other people were doing out there who are Christians, you know, it takes an unfolding, doesn't it? The more of God. And so I just want to encourage us today. It can be an unfolding. Here's the second thing I want to talk to you about. Believing for God's more is, it's you've got to recognize something about God's more. It's recognize and utilize what I call the three doors to more. See, sometimes we think, well, God, just let it out. Let's just pour it on me. No, no, no. Sometimes you've got to knock and open the door. There's things you might have to do. And so we see in Scripture there's three distinct doors that if you want to receive the more of God, the first door to the more of God is faithfulness. Faithfulness. See, David in the Psalms, there are many times when God is doing things, God is doing many things God is doing for David. In response to that, David says, "I'll do something. I will do something." And that something was this. It was to dwell. David said, "You know what? God, I dwell." David made a decision. He was going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That says it in Psalm 23. The word dwell means to be faithful. It means to remain, but it means to be faithful. David had to be faithful. You need to be faithful. And for all of us, there's times when we just need to be faithful in our job, times when we need to be faithful in our workplace. We need to be faithful with what work we do, faithful in our service, faithful with our money, faithful with our marriage. Faithful. We want the more of God, but let's be faithful for what we have. I've come to understand that you've got to open the door to faithfulness if you want to see the more of God. And we see in Luke chapter 16, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with what? Much. And whoever is dishonest with very little, dishonest will be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? You know, sometimes we say to God, I want to be promoted, God. I don't want to be recognized. Sometimes we've got to take our eyes off that. And just say, I'm going to be just faithful. I'm just going to be faithful like Joseph. Faithful in the prison, faithful in the pit, faithful in the pot of his house as a slave. I'm just going to be faithful. I'll serve even in the prison. I'll do my best and serve. And why don't we just say, the Lord is my what? My shepherd. I will not lack. I'm going to trust you and then watch God promote you and God through your faithfulness. The second door, remember this is point two, but the second door to the more of God is productivity. You've got to understand this one. David said in Psalm 23, verse 4, even though I walk through the darkest valley, please take note of the word walk. The word walk has a number of applications, but one is to exercise. There we go. Exercise. Who loves exercising? No, okay. Heard a no over here. I won't point out the person. When we exercise, it's often for a purpose, and that purpose is that it increases our health. Did you know it gives us better cardiac responses in our heart? It can be strengthened through that. You know our bone density can increase. Did you know you can have better balance because you walk? All these type of things. It can affect your diabetes so that it can actually, as you walk, it can take it that level down. Joint and muscular pain and soreness can go away when you start to just walk. So there's a lot of things about walking. And they say, you know, the truth is, if you don't use it, you'll what? Lose it. So, you know, I think if you can walk, I think it's a good thing. Anyway, I'm not expounding any great spiritual truth about that. But David said, you know what? I'm going to walk through the darkest valley. Now, I know David was talking about the shadow of death, and I know there's a spiritual content here, but I just wanted to draw to your attention the fact is that, you know, we need to be productive. We need to be doing something. If we want to see the more of God, and walking, you know, if you don't use it, you'll lose it. And I've discovered that God doesn't give you more if you don't use what you've got. In Matthew 25, there were three servants. One was given five talents. He went and doubled it. Master said, well done. When he came back, he said, well done. Give you more. There was one who was given two talents. He doubled it as well when the master was away. The master came back and said, give him two more. That guy's good. There was one who had one talent. He went and hid it and buried it. And the master said, you wicked servant. You know, you should have gone and invested it, and so would have two. But he says, take the one from the one who's got, take it from him, the one he's got, and give it to the guy of 10. Now that seems unfair, would you agree? But the truth is, it seems harsh. The way we receive more, if we're unproductive with what we, why should we receive more when we're unproductive with what we have? That's what it's saying. It seems like a very harsh parable, doesn't it? But it's the truth. Jesus says in Matthew 25, for everyone who has more will be given and will have abundance, but from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Wow. The door to less is a lack of productivity, the lack of opportunity. It's not the lack of opportunity. Some people think, well, it's just, I haven't got enough opportunity. I can't be productive, I haven't got enough opportunity. No. Be faithful, be productive with what you have. It's sometimes we get that's a victim mentality. I haven't got enough opportunity. You got tons of opportunity. Just be faithful in the little, hey? Be productive with what you got. We can think it's opportunity. No, it's productivity that we don't receive. It says lazy people in Proverbs 13 want much more but get little, but those who work hard will prosper anyway. The third door is to more of God is giving. Psalm 23 is a good... It's the shepherd's list of provision for his sheep. Rest, restoration, protection, blessing. Psalm 23 has got all those in it and is one of God's greatest examples of generosity to his people and what he provides for us, and it can overflow. So we see this great example in 23 of David talking about God's blessing. But do you know why David was talking about God's blessing? It's because David had learned to be an incredible giver himself. An incredible giver. Do you know when Solomon built the temple, do you know around a third to a half of that was built, that temple in Jerusalem, the original temple right up there on the Temple Mount where that's all that's left of it now. It was originally built with a third or a half of David's finance. And do you know that the gold that lined the original temple was equivalent of $300 million Australian dollars? And David provided up to a half of that. God, David was an incredible giver. And so in Psalm 23, he's an older man. He's looking back and he knows God's provision for him because he's just continually provided for others. David had a heart to give. I could go into many stories about David, but we've got to see the incredible provision of God. God, and as we give out, it's amazing how much he provides so that we can give out even more. You know, if you want to be, if you want friends, be friendly. Come on, give. Have you ever walked through the mall, or you know, or maybe go for a walk on a path early morning. You walk, and that's a good thing. Walking, and as you walk, people come towards you. You just give them a smile and say good morning. Often than not, those people will say, "Oh, good morning." Just giving away a smile, giving away a. You know, see, every person is an opportunity. Have you ever walked into the mall in the shopping center and when you can do shopping, said, Father, what opportunity will you get me to, I can do to help someone today or do something? And you know, there'll be a little old lady trying to reach up to grab at the top aisle and you just walk up and say, can I help you? Oh, she says, yes. She nearly cries. Oh, yes, you can help me. And you get the item down. I don't know what it might be. But you know, folks, just give. It's amazing what returns to you. You know what I'm talking about? It goes against natural thinking sometimes because Proverbs 11:24 says one person gives freely, it gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to what? Poverty. So we give, it goes against natural thinking. You give, you think, well, I'm going to have less if I give. But as you give, it's amazing what comes back to you. And yet you hold to yourself, and it's amazing how it just seems to seep away and you have very little in the end. It doesn't say come to poverty because of the economy, folks. The economy will go up and down, up and down, up and down. If you want to look at your super, if you have a superannuation or you haven't, you know, you have a look at it over the last 30 years, far out, going, don't even bother looking. Just, you know, in the end, the economy happens. But I want to tell you what, God's economy never goes up and down. It's so stable. It's just gone like this. The more of God. So it actually says, you know, you haven't got much because you don't give. You say, well, I haven't got much. Well, just start to be a giver. It doesn't increase. It actually diminishes if you hold it to yourself. People in the world want maximum, but they give minimum. And here's the last thought. We'll finish with this. So number one, we just talked about, you know, the God. What did we say? I have to remember. Faithfulness. It's the unfolding, remember? Sorry, the unfolding. I'm giving you a lot of little thoughts here. It's the unfolding of his blessing. Number two is the three doors of faithfulness and the door of productivity. Just use what you got. And the door of giving, it's a great door to walk through. And then lastly, we'll finish with this, and I love this one. The third thing is, if you're believing for God's more, is God is never finished with us, so we neither should we. If you're believing for God's more, we just sing it, God is never finished with us. He's got more for us, okay? He's never finished with us. He doesn't say you're unredeemable. He says he doesn't discard you in your life and say, well, you've gone too bad, you've gone too far, you've done too many wrong things. No, we're always redeemable. The more of God comes as we realize that and embrace him and run into him and don't run away from him. Psalm 23:6 says, surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. Follow means to run after. He runs after us. There's never a moment when he doesn't run after us. There's never a moment in life that he doesn't think we're redeemable. His love will run after us. He is never finished with us, and he never says your life is to be too far gone. And so you should never say, well, I'm finished. Sometimes we say that. We think, well, just blowing it too much. We say, well, how could I ever? No. You don't say that about yourself. Because if you're finished, you will be. No. Realize there's a God that runs after you. There's a God that's got more. Think of Peter, the betrayal of Jesus. And yet on the beach that day, after Jesus had resurrected from the dead, Jesus is on the beach cooking fish for breakfast. And we see what happens is that Jesus calls out to the disciples, and Peter comes to the beach and Jesus restores him. What a wonderful thing, our God. He ran after Peter. What about the woman with the issue of blood that wouldn't stop? She spent all her livelihood on doctors for so many, over a decade. And then one day she desperately overcomes her shame and goes into a crowd and touches the hem of Jesus. She just, even if I just touch his hem, and she was healed instantly. That was an instant healing, wasn't it? And so we see God's blessing, the more of God for people. I'm just so glad that Jesus was never finished, and we shouldn't be finished with ourselves either. I love this passage of scripture, Mark 8. It says this, 22 to 25. It's about a blind man. It was in the city of Bethsaida, there in Israel. And Jesus came to this city of Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, not recommendable today, but, you know, culturally that was okay, and he put his hands on him and he asked him if he saw anything. And the man looked up and said, you know what, I see men like trees walking. And so he had blurred vision. And then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up, and he was restored and saw everything clearly. So here we have in Mark 8, we see a man is healed, not instantaneously, but eventually. I love this passage, because nowhere in Scripture do you see this, where Jesus kind of, it looks almost like Jesus missed. He just didn't get it right the first time. I don't think that was the case. I mean, two chapters later, in chapter 9, I believe, or the next chapter later, he heals a blind man instantly. Why didn't he heal this man instantly? Why was this man took two goes? And I love the fact, I think he is there because he's in the Bible, because it's for every one of us who ever felt that we've got a little way to go yet. For every one of us who feels like my marriage has still got a way to go, or for every person who feels like, well, my character has still got a way to go yet, for every person who feels like they had a handle on dealing with issues, but something happened and I reacted and I found out I still have a way to go. It's for every person who wants to be able to say my life is a reflection of Jesus, but you know what? I still feel like I have a way to go. Anybody in that, don't put your hand up in that category. Because there in Scripture, a blind man is touched not once, but twice. And Jesus was willing to do it. I'm glad Jesus didn't say after the first time, oh, haven't got any more. Blurred vision's better than no vision, buddy. See you later. No, he went back and had a second go. And I love the reality. And do you know why? Because God's not finished with us yet. God's not finished. We are work in progress. Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 10. I am God's workmanship. I love that. When I was a young boy, I was 12 years of age, and my mum and dad wanted to renovate underneath their house, build what we used to call a rumpus room. You ever heard of those terms? And the builders came in, and they had to blast a rock, had to do some pretty major construction, and the whole place was just a mess. Sawdust was everywhere. It was fairly major. And I remember thinking, noisy and everything else. But you know what? In the end, it became something quite practical and really wonderful for us as a family to have extra space. But in life, it's truth. When we live in God's house, and there's a bit of renovation going on in our lives, and if you had some, and maybe, life gets a bit hectic and a bit difficult and a bit noisy and you're not quite sure what's happening. But I want to tell you, don't give up, because don't misunderstand that this is, you think this is, my life's just a wreck when it's just a renovation. And God isn't finished, because the God of more always says, I'm never finished with you. And there can be a messy sawdust and noise and everything else happening in your life. But you know what? That's not an opportunity. That's not the time to pull back. It's the time to push forward. Say, Father, you haven't finished with me yet. And I'm glad you're the God of more. I'm glad for the blind man who Jesus gave more time to. And it's the astonishing fact is not that Jesus had to touch him again, but the amazing thing is Jesus did touch the blind man again until it came right. God is not finished. And I'm not sure where you're at this morning. Maybe you are here, you've looked up and everything looks a little blurry and you're not quite sure what's happening. But the time is, it's time to believe again. Say, Father, we're going to move on because you're the God of more. Don't settle. We talked about that last week. Don't settle, but see there's more. You say, well, I'm too old. No, you're never too old. You think of some of the patriarchs in the Old Testament, 80, 90, Moses, some of those men and women who are old to life and yet they achieved. Caleb, 80, and yet was still strong to go into the promised land. I don't care what age. Age is not the issue. It's our heart attitude. Don't let your heart get old, even though our body may. And continue to see God's got more. Can we have all the team this morning as we close? There's so much more that God has for us. Our circumstance, our situation, our life. We're going to sing this beautiful song again. It's such a great song. And I didn't choose it for this message, but it's always wonderful how it aligns. Could we stand together this morning just for a moment before we close? And let's for a moment, I sense this morning as people were singing that song, there was some things in your heart that were saying, you're not finished with me yet. Oh God, I feel like I'm a little finished. I'm a little tired. I'm a little, I don't know what it might be. But you know what? God just says, come on. There's more. There's more for you. To restore, to encourage, to build up, to grace, more of His wondrous works, more healing, more help, more hope, more peace, more joy. He's got more. Maybe it's material, something financial. You think, I'm at the end of my rope. I just need your provision. Why don't you believe for that as you give? Come on, let's just sing today and thank Him. Worship Him.
And I've come a long way. And I've seen how you were. There's so much goodness and grace, much more than I deserve. 'Cause I know who I am, and I can stay where I'm at. We've come this far by faith, and I just can't turn back. He's not done with me yet. He's not done with me yet. There's so much more to this story.
We just going to continue this song in a moment, but if you just, you know, I think we just got to put a little bit of feet to our faith and come and just yield to Him. And if this morning you just need to come before Him for a moment as we worship, I just invite you to come and stand up the front, and we may pray for you, we may not, but it's not to me or this church. You're coming, Father. I just need to yield this to you. Maybe there's healing needed within your body, but why don't we believe for that today as well, the more of God. So I welcome you this morning as we just worship for a moment. You say, well, what's the difference between where I stand and where I... Well, you know, sometimes it's, you know that in your heart you just need to do something, put some feet, activate something here. And it's sometimes just walking towards the Lord, walking out the front can just activate that. So I give that to you this morning. Come on, let's just finish. Thanks, team.
You're not done with me yet. There's so much more to this story. You're not done.
Yes, Lord.
You're not done with me yet.
I thank you, Father.
I will trust in you.
There's so much more to this story. You're not done with me yet. Thank you, Lord.
You're not done.
Thank you, Lord. We just praise you, Father. More to this story,
you're not done with me
yet.
Who am I to decide what the Lord can do? Who am I to deny what the Lord can do?
'Cause God is more than. Thank you, Father.
God is more than able.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
God is more than able.
Father, as we go into this day this week, that we'd be ever so mindful that our life does not exist just in my small circle, but Lord, that you have an incredibly big picture and you want us just to step into that, and we might not see it all, but that we could just trust you every day. So Father, we pray, I pray your hand blessing and your touch upon our lives as we go forward, that we would just be, Father, ever so aware that you're not the God of less, you're the God of more. And we thank you for that. We need some of us need your forgiveness and mercy and grace, more of that. For some of us need your touch, your healing and provision for us. Whatever it may be, we just thank you today that you're a God that runs after us, chases us, and you got more. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless your church. Encourage one another today. Thank you.